It's been a while since I've been here, still saved. And you may not have heard me preach, but a whole lot of other people did. I did more preaching away than I would have if I had stayed here. So I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. And I desire that you would pray for me and with me as we endeavor by the grace of God to share with you the word of God. We want to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we'll just start reading. I'm going to give special attention to the 8th verse. And we'll read starting at the first verse, if you would. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." That's good enough right here. First of all, I wanted to bring to our attention that Jesus went aside and he taught. He said the multitude came unto him, and when he was set, his disciples came and he opened his mouth and he taught them. So this is not just something that he preached. It's something that he sat down and took some time to explain to them what these things meant. Not just a blessed this or blessed that, but he began to teach them and give them a clarity of understanding. And I believe Jesus, being obviously the best teacher that there ever has been, having the Holy Spirit that is also a teacher that can impart to us the understanding that we need. And as we are here today, we need the Holy Ghost to give us the understanding of what these scriptures mean. I want us to give special attention to the 8th verse. Says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I want to deal with that. I want to talk today about the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of the prerequisites for us to get to heaven is we've got to have a pure heart. It cannot have contamination in it. It cannot have something that is foreign, something that is not according to the will of God, that's not laid out in Scripture. We've got to make certain that our hearts are pure before God, or we can't see Him. Not only in the light of us going to be with the Lord throughout all eternity, but our hearts have to be pure in order to see some of the things that God allows to happen to us on a day-to-day basis. I have been in situations where folks have said, "I don't understand why God is allowing this or that to happen to me." And I've been in situations myself that I didn't altogether understand why God was doing a particular thing, but I trusted Him. I believe that He knew what He was doing, and I believe that I could trust Him in this situation. And I believe that we have to have, this scripture is bringing out, that we have to have a purity of heart in order to even see God in some of the situations that He allows us to come to go through. But the scripture says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." We understand and realize that He has a purpose in everything that He allows to happen to our life, the good things and the bad things, the things that seems like they're catastrophic. God has a purpose in it, and we must understand that God has a purpose in it, and we must be willing, by the grace of God, to seek Him to have that level of understanding that we need in those kinds of places. So it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So for us to get to heaven, for us to see the Lord's face in peace, we've got to have a pure heart. And one of the things that I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of today is that there are a lot of things that can contaminate us. There are a lot of things that can have an effect on our spiritual well-being, or the spiritual condition, we might say, of our hearts. I want to read a couple scriptures here. I wanted to say also, heart disease, bring out the point, heart disease is the number one cause of death in America. And every person that dies in America, one out of four of those people will die from heart disease. One out of four, 25%. And then the rest of the deaths are a result of various other things that happen. But one out of four people will die with heart problems. And probably many of us, some of us that are sitting here, have problems with our heart, don't we? And most of the time, those problems are a result of a lot of, a series of things. One of the things that it's a result of is our inactivity. We don't work like we used to work. We sit down a lot more. It used to be that we were out in the fields and we were doing things, and that's a result of, that affects us and affects the health of our hearts. And not only that, but our diets, what we consume, what we take in, high levels of sodium, processed food, all this kind of thing has an effect on how well and how healthy our hearts are. In the same way, I'd like to bring out the point, spiritually speaking, there are a lot of folks that die spiritually on a year-to-year basis, people that we have known to have a relationship with the Lord at one time and known to have a close bond with Him and have a purity of heart, and then there are little bitty things that get in the way, and before you know it, they're dead, spiritually speaking. And a lot of times, I'd like to say that some of these issues that they have are a result of what they consume. I was listening to NPR the other day, and one of the things that they said is that in America, it was two different times. They said by the time a child is 7 years old, by the time a child is 7 years old, and I'll take that into consideration because the first year or two, that child doesn't have any ability to talk very much. But by the time he's 7 years old, he will have spent 1 year of his life in front of a television or some kind of screen media. 1 year of his life, 24 hours a day for 1 year. All right? Now that's going to have an effect on us because what's happening is that we're taking in things that may not be altogether healthy for us, right? So this is a small child, and it says that children in a greater, different ages, that 45 hours a week is in front of a screen media, the computer, the television, some kind of Game Boy or something like that. 45 hours, 30 hours is with in school, and 17 hours is with their parents, if I have the statistics right. And so what I'd like to bring out and lay in the foundation here is that there are a lot of things that we're consuming, and no one here will stand up and say that everything on the computer or everything on television is good. Will anybody say that? And don't tell me that there is not agendas that are being written to fill our minds with certain things and put questions in our mind. All kind of agendas are going on. There are all kind of things that are happening to turn the way we think, to change the way that we think. So we've got to be careful. So that the reason I'm saying that is because as we take these things in, we have to make certain that the affections that are in our heart, those things that concern us about the things of God, they're not contaminated in any way by what we're consuming. All right? Not just, I use that as an example, but there are myriads of other things that we can use as an example as well. There are things that can contaminate us, our spiritual well-being, and we've got to be careful about that, and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be pure in heart because I don't want anything to contaminate us. Now, let me say, the brother put in a request about a man that had a massive heart attack. That didn't just happen. That was probably the result of years or something of neglect about what he needed to do, about his health and whatnot. I'm not talking about that. I'm not downing any individual. I'm bringing out a point here. What we have to understand is that there are things about us and our own. If we were to go and get an examination, we'd probably find that there are some things about us, about our heart, that are not quite as healthy as it needs to be. And so it requires that we do something a little different. Start changing our diet, doing a little more exercise, making certain that we're more careful about what we put into this body that God gave us. We need to do that in order to be healthy, to live a long time, right? Well, in the same way, we need to be concerned about what we put into our minds, the creation of what the world creates to tell us what we want. In essence, why do you suppose that they have commercials? They have commercials, and they have billboards, and they have magazine ads, and all these things, because it affects what's in our heart, it affects what's important to us, doesn't it? And what they tell us, in essence, is that there are some things that we think need to be important to you. So we put, they put it out in front of us, and we are, if we're not careful, we take all of that in, and before we know it, we are desiring something that's not sin, it's not wrong. It's not necessary that God would be against us, but we have this that we desire, and this that we desire, and that that we desire, and before we know it, it is causing a lot of stress in our lives because we can't afford all these things that they've told us that we can't live without. All right, so we went out and bought it. We couldn't afford it, so we put it on a credit card. We bought that, we bought that, and we bought. Now, it was supposed to make us happy, and you know what it's doing? It's causing stress, and it's causing some heart problems. Because we can't keep up with it. And so what happens is, in essence, now it's causing, in two ways it's causing heart problems. In one way, it's causing literal stress to our physical bodies. All right? And we are working double time, overtime, so that we can, listen, all of us are guilty of it to some level, probably. I'm generalizing here. But I know I have been guilty of those things. And the Lord began to help me to see there are many things that you're seeking after that's not really important at all. And so physically, because this has gotten into your heart and I've got to have a house that is X amount of bedrooms and X amount of square feet and all of this thing, and I'm doing it, and as a result of doing it, I'm missing church because I can't. I got to work overtime in order to make the payment. Do you see my point? All right, now, is there anything wrong with a nice house? Don't get me wrong. I believe all God's children can have a nice house if that's what God has designed. But what happens is we allow these things that come to us and come, these things that we are consuming to affect us, and they tell us where the seat of our desires should be and what should be the center of our desires. And if we're not careful, we'll pursue that thing. And if we're not careful, it'll in some way put a little stress on our spiritual heart. It's not that, that's not bad, but then we add to this, and then we add this, and then we add this, and before we know it, we've got blocked arteries, spiritually speaking. Lord help us. Now, we're going to try to support this. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, 9th verse. Have it, you can read it for us. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? And it's talking about the heart. Now, of course, this is the heart of an unregenerated man. It's deceitful, but once we get saved and we are asked the Lord, Lord, to purify our hearts and come and rule and reign in us, you know what we have to do? We have to keep our hearts pure. But it says here that in the natural state, a heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are motives. Our motivation can be so complex. And on the surface, there is generally in everything that we do has a motive in essence. And there are some things that we have motivation for, and there is the surface motivation that looks like. And this is what the scripture is talking about here. The heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are some things about our heart, some things about human nature, some things about our character that we don't fully understand. And we need God to open up our understanding and purify our hearts and search our hearts and see if there's any wicked way in us. We need God to do that for us. We cannot do it for ourselves. And so here it's saying it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our motives are so complex that in essence, sometimes we have the surface motive, but there and what we tell everybody is that this is what's going on in our lives, and I'm doing this for this reason, but really underneath, there's an altogether different reason. All right? You with me on that? And so what I'd like to bring out in this passage of Scripture about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is that we don't just look at the surface motivation. We have to ask the Lord, I want you to go down to the very inward parts of my being. I want you to look at everything that I'm doing. I want you to examine it. And I want to see if there's anything that has contaminated me in any kind of a way. I want my heart to be your heart. I want to be a man after your heart. I want to be a woman after your heart, doing whatever it is that you desire for me to do. And I don't want my heart contaminated in any kind of way, because I realize and I know and understand that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I'd like to say this, and the reason that it's very important, this teaching that Jesus taught his disciples, and he sat down and he taught the multitude, blessed are the pure in heart, because there are some things about our motives, our motivation, the seat of our affections, the things that we feel are important that can actually lead us in another direction if we're not careful. All right? You with me on that? All right? So our primary motivations can hide behind our surface motivations. Well, you can see a particular thing that needs to be done, right? And so you begin to do it, but the reason that you're doing it is not really because it needs to, just because it needs to be done. You're doing it because you don't want somebody else to do it. Or you want the glory. Or you're getting something out of it. You know, all these little things is things that we've had to ask the Lord to purify my motivation. Lord, I'm doing this because on the surface everybody can pat me on the back and everybody can see that it's a good job of what I'm doing. They can see that it's a good job, but yet and still in the depths of my heart, I know that there is something more than what meets the eye. And the scripture says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the very depth of the heart. And so what can happen is just a slight contamination in my heart, in the things that I know God requires of me, and desire, and at the seat of my affection, I can allow something to get in there and contaminate, and before I know it, I've got an infection, and I've got the disease of the heart, and before I know it, I'm having a major heart attack, and I'm spiritually dead as a result, because I did not look. I did not put forth the effort to keep my heart pure before God. See, you know, it really doesn't matter how other people look at you, does it? And sometimes we're more concerned about how other people look at us than we are about how God looks at us. Sometimes we're more concerned that, you know, what they're going to say than what God is going to say. But it didn't say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the people. It said, for they shall see God. And the reason that we're all sitting here today is because we have this hope, we have this desire, we have this determination in our heart. At some point in our existence, we want to see God's face in peace. And so I'm endeavoring to do what God requires me to do. Come, forsake not the assembling of myself together as the manner of some be. I don't want to forsake the assembling of myself together because it motivates me. It gives me motivation when I see the saints of God and they're still standing strong and firm and true on the things of God. That motivates me to continue on because one day I'm going to be able to see God's face in peace as well. And so I'm encouraged by what you say and what you do. I'm encouraged by seeing you being faithful to the Lord, and you're encouraged by my faithfulness and so on. And so there's this provoking that the Lord has set up, the way the Lord has set it up. There's this provoking that we do one to another, one toward another, to keep each other going by the grace of God. All right? Psalms 51, 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. In the hidden parts, in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know. Say it again. Wisdom. All right. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. And joy and gladness. Bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All right? So it says, behold, thou desirest truth. Where? In the inward part and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So the Lord doesn't just desire. So he says, purge me. He didn't say that I can make myself clean. None of us can do that, can we? It is that we have to go to the Lord and we have to submit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, make me clean. Purify my hearts, purify my thoughts, purify my motivations, purify. And it's nothing wrong with that. The Lord knows when there is a bit of contamination in the hearts of his people, doesn't he? He knows that there's a little motivation that can't stay there, and we have to do something about that. When the Lord shows us and he gives us understanding that there is some contamination, we might say, and I want you to understand me when I'm saying it. It's not necessarily something that's sin. I'm not talking about a person that is a sinful person and doing some things that they know are against what God desires and has designed. That's not what I'm talking about here today. What I'm talking about sometimes is that there is this motivation that we have, that we or something about us that maybe we haven't been completely and 100% obedient to what we know God requires of us. And so that can contaminate us, but we have to remain pure. So he says, thou desirest truth in the inward part and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, sometimes we have to ask the Lord to do that, don't we? Sometimes things that happen to us, things that people do against us, and things that people say that hurt our feelings, all of us have had hurt feelings before. Somebody has said something or not said something or acknowledged us in a way or not acknowledged us in a way that has affected us, and our spirits were affected by that. There was this ability or this potential to contaminate our spirits, so we have to ask the Lord, Lord, create in me renew a right spirit in me, make it new again. I'm feeling bad toward this person and all the things that they've done against me. I'm feeling bad toward them, so Lord, I don't want that feeling, that emotion, I don't want it to contaminate my heart, because what's going to happen if I let a root of bitterness go into the depths of my heart, it's going to contaminate it, isn't it? We want to justify sometimes ourselves by saying, you know what, I have a right to be bitter. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know how they did it? Do you know that that shouldn't have been done by a saint of God? A lot of things shouldn't have been done by saints of God. But let me tell you, what I've learned in my little few years of experience is that everything that happens to me, God allows it to happen to me. It had to go through God before it ever got to me. And the Lord had a purpose in it coming my way. And what I've learned is all of them, every single problem that I've had, every problem that somebody has come against me and talked about me behind my back and in my face and whatever else that they did and hurt my feelings and I had to go somewhere and cry. Do you know every one of those times was a stepping stone that made me deeper in the Lord, and I was more determined by the grace of God. I'm going to live for you, Lord. This is not going to deter me. It's not going to turn me aside. It's going to make me a better man, a stronger man in the things of God, and that's what we've got to do. I could have done that. I could have used these things, these afflictions. I could have used them to turn me against God. Or I could have used them to help me on my journey. It's our choice. So when there is this temptation to be bitter at what people do, and all of us will come at some point in our experience, all of us will come to a place that we have a temptation to be bitter and to have the wrong spirit because of what somebody did. What are we going to do with it? Do you know that that has the potential of contaminating your heart? And if you let it stay there, you let a wrong spirit take root in your life. You let a wrong spirit take root in your life and you don't say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You don't do that. You know what? You're going to have some heart problems. Something's going to come up. And you know what? Well, most of these heart problems, it's not just one thing that happens one time. It's a series of things that happen that causes you to have a heart attack. And before you know it, it's just you're dead, spiritually speaking. But it was coming all along. And I believe that the Lord gives us warning. I believe this message is a warning for us to examine our hearts, to examine our spirits, to examine the seat of our affections, and stop justifying ourselves. Let me tell you, one of the things that we are people that love to justify what we do. We learned this morning in our Sunday school lesson, very good lesson and a lot of good comments about being merciful. Do you know we have to be merciful? And folks are going to do things against us, and in order for us to be merciful, we're going to have to forgive those people for what they do. What did Jesus say? He was up on the cross, and they were doing all the things. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even have an understanding of what they do. But let me tell you, if we're not careful, if we don't have the spirit of forgiveness, let me tell you, you cannot, you're not going to be able to make it. There's going to be something that contaminates the very heart, your very heart, and you're not going to be able to make it. You're going to die, spiritually speaking, if you don't forgive. It's what people do. What people say, what they don't say. You can't let a root of bitterness springing up. And what does it say? What does it do? Many are defiled as a result of that, of a root of bitterness. What is bitterness? It's that somebody generally has said something or done something against me, and it hurt me, and as a result of that hurt, I didn't say anything, and I didn't do anything, and I didn't change the way that I look, that I treated them outwardly, but there is something about that person that they just grate me. And so, and look at them, sitting over there, look at them, look at what they're doing. Oh, I can't stand them. We say those things, don't we, people? Oh, they get on my nerves. A root of bitterness, contamination, and I'm defiled as a result. But I want to remind us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The only way for me to see the Lord is that I have to have a pure heart, and I cannot justify. Well, you don't know, Brother Darrell, what they did. It don't matter what they did. Didn't matter what they did to Jesus, what they said to him. They spit on him. They beat him. They called him names, and what am I? They did it to the master, they're going to do it to me. Let me tell you, what I'm talking to you about today is not necessarily easy for us to do. Because all of us have this tendency to want justice done, don't we? But do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not just justice. It is not judgment. It rises up against judgment, and you say, you know what? That person really did not know how those words affected them. Let me tell you, words affect people. You know how they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? No, words can hurt worse than sticks and stones. Lord, help us. Y'all with me? All right, alpha quiet out there.